Good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome. And it's time for our city talk. And we've got Mike Bailey, our city manager, and a cast of, half a dozen. How are you doing today, Mike?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's Monday.
You're exactly right. We're off to a fast start this Monday.
Yes, we are.
Chief about injured himself when he sat down on the stool back there. Maybe we should have done this on video this morning.
Yeah, we opted not to do that today, but that would have been something. Yeah.
Looked like he was riding a unicycle there for a second.
Going up to the circus in Dewey, trying out. Oh, no, boy. We can't have that. He's got a tough job.
Yeah.
So what's going on, Mike Bailey?
Well, I've got several city staff members here today to talk about some hot topics.
But, Very good.
But before we get to them, thought we'd talk a little bit about the council meeting that we had last week. Mm-hmm. It was a good meeting, and a lot of the items the staff will cover here in a minute. But there was a few things that happened that night that one in particular is a little boring to most people, but very critical as far as city operations go. And it was the presentation of our audit. And I won't bore anybody by reading it, and I won't talk too much about it, except to say that there's two things that most people should be interested in when you're talking about an audit. And one of them is the opinion. And so when an auditor comes in, they audit your financial statements. They don't write your financial statements. They don't do anything of that nature. They come in and audit your financial statements and issue their professional opinion. Mm-hmm. And in the opinion of our auditors, our financial statements are fairly stated, which sounds really generic, but essentially that's the best opinion an auditor is ever going to give you. It means everything's okay in their opinion. So that was the good news, is that we got a clean opinion on the audit. There's two other documents that'll come with the audit. One of them is a findings, and there were no findings and no, I'm trying to think what the other term is, but anyway, in that document there was also nothing of concern, nothing of note. And then the final thing is that a lot of times you will get a management recommendation letter in which the auditors come in and they make recommendations for how you can do things better. Even though you had a clean opinion, even though there were no findings or significant issues, they'll still come in and say, well, but you should probably do these things. Mm-hmm. We also had no management recommendations. So it was really a good audit. I mean, honestly, when you can get out of an audit with a clean opinion, no findings, and no recommendations from your auditor, it's about as good as it can get.
Oh, so. Yeah. You know there's trouble when you say, about that.
That's it.
That's when it starts. The complexion starts changing.
That's it. So, but anyway, it was. They presented that mm-hmm. last Tuesday, I guess. Yeah, last Tuesday.
Yes.
And so that was good. Good to have that behind us. And, of course, now it's actually time to start on the next one. So Jason went back to the office and began preparing for next year's as well.
All right.
The other item that was on there that actually this one's a little bit unusual. We did something that we haven't done in a while, and we had a Bartlesville Education Authority meeting. And for people who aren't familiar with that, that is a trust authority of the city, and the city council is actually the authority as well, so it's the same group, but it is a different purpose. And the Bartlesville Education Authority was formed solely for the purpose of helping the school to finance their debt so that they can put their projects together more efficiently. Initially, what it was is that there's limitations, and the school can only issue so much GO bond, voter-approved GO bond debt in any given year. And their projects cost more than what they could issue. So they came to the city and said, we would like your help so that we could issue this debt in a larger sum, and then they pay it back with their GO bonds over time. So we've done that one time with them. Now that they just had their last election, the city council met and again approved the use of this so that the school will be able to get their projects done more quickly. And so it's just kind of it's just evidence of the types of partnerships that we have in our local governments in Bartlesville. We have this partnership between the city and the school. There are a number of other partnerships we've had with them. We have a partnership with Washington County and the Sheriff's Department in that the city of Bartlesville offers dispatch mm-hmm. so that we don't have two dispatching agencies in Washington County. And then they handle our jail services for us so you don't have two jail providers. So, of course, the taxpayers of Bartlesville and Washington County pay for these things, so it's better when we work together. You'll hear the chief's here with me, and he'll talk about one more, our most recent. It's a partnership with Tri-County Tech dealing with police services, and it's also a great opportunity. So there is a lot of those things. I also realize that there are a lot of partnerships between the school and Tri-County Tech, and so everybody should know that your local governments do work together, and we work together really well.
That's reassuring. It's very reassuring.
Yeah, we we strive for that. As mm-hmm. I said, it's not always easy. We operate under slightly different laws, so we have to work through those things. But we can really help each other out, which in turn ultimately helps out the taxpayers of Bartlesville. So, and with that, I think we're probably ready to move on and introduce Miss Lisa Beeman one more time. Lisa Beeman is
Community Development Director
and other things, but Community Development Director, I think, covers most of those things.
Most of those things.
You're also our park planner, and well, you're pretty much our planner.
Well, whatever we need plan, we can plan.
Whatever I need plan, that's 10, Lisa.
10,000-foot view, that's me.
So most of what we've got here for you to talk about today actually kind of falls under your park hat.
Mm-hmm.
At last week's council meeting, we talked about a couple of items. One of them was the Sooner Park Pavilion. And I know we've had a lot of questions about what exactly that will be. And so give everybody an update on what we're doing at Sooner Park with that pavilion.
I will. Be happy to do so. So we had originally had funds, I don't remember, I think it was in the seven-year CIP sales tax to do a pavilion at Civitan Park and one at Sooner. So we obviously the one at Civitan Park is up and running, and a lot of, I guess, thanks go to the Bartlesville Uptown Civitan Club for right. raising the majority of the funds for that.
So they actually paid, yeah. I believe we paid for the pavilion, they paid for the installation
right.
and all
and
that.
And then they paid us back some portion of the cost of the pavilion because we didn't have, actually, pavilions cost way more than people actually think.
Yes,
so I think we budgeted like $80,000 to do two pavilions. And that was a long time ago, so it actually costs more like $80,000 to do one pavilion if you do a decent size.
Right.
So after having worked with the Civitan Club and helping out, and then as many know, we sold a lot of the old playground equipment, the playground equipment from Sooner Park and Johnstone Park when we replaced those. So we used those funds to go toward helping us to put in a 40-foot diameter hexagon-shaped shelter that will go in Sooner Park in the old playground area. So if you look at that old playground area, it was kind of like this big triangle piece.
A cool little feature,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, and so we're going to replace in the area, we're going to put a six-sided, I think that's what a hexagon is. Hexagon six-sided, I think
Octagon's
it is.
Octagon's eight, hex is six, right?
So yep. Six-sided shelter, 40-foot in diameter, in that area where the old playground used to be. So it'll have concrete under it. We'll put grass around it. There'll still be, you know, areas where maybe rocks where kids can climb and things like that. But that will be a new shelter that will go in, and we anticipate that'll be done by the end of the year. So that'll give us a second nice shelter at Sooner Park, because right now we just have the one big pavilion, and we don't have anything else.
Yeah, we really don't have anything over on that side of the park right. either.
Yeah.
So this
gives us a nice second shelter at that park.
It's a great addition to that side of the park, which I think is really highly used.
Yes.
That's where the little kids, their little playground is right there.
Right.
So there'll still be a lot of that, and it'll give people a place to get out of the shade. And fairly unique. I don't think we have another pavilion that looks quite like this one, do we?
No, we don't.
With the hexagon
shape. We like to make things look pretty in the planning office.
Just a little different.
A little different.
True.
And it's also near the volleyball courts. So we get a lot of activity on those volleyball courts, and so this would give kind of a little shelter area for that as well.
Yeah, be great for Sunfest as well.
Yeah, so we're excited to have that in by the end of the year.
Well, and we also had a presentation on Tuesday night from Dr. John Lindblom talking about disc golf and a proposal that he had for the council that we considered, which was pretty cool.
So, yes, John Lindblom Dr. Lindblom, owner of Safari Smiles. Great guy. So he's very into disc golf, and he plays with the local disc golf course or local club. So we have one 18-hole course at Sooner Park. The club built a second 18-hole course at the trailhead to Pathfinder Parkway on Shawnee down by the high school. And it all works through the woods. You play through the woods. And Dr. Lindblom would like to have brought forward the idea of more of a professional quality one where you could host tournaments and you have really long, you know, fairways to play in. So you're not just limited to like three pars. You can have some four and five par holes. And the area that he asked for approval, he went to the park board. The park board recommendation went to the city council last Tuesday night.
Yep.
and it's to use an acreage of about 45 acres north of Lee Lake, also kind of north of the dog park and in that wooded area that used to be a former landfill. And so we, City Council gave their okay to move forward with the understanding that anything that is built is privately funded and privately maintained by the local club. And Dr. Lindblom gave his assurance that that's how we would operate. So he's going to go out now and employ a professional disc golf course designer, right, who will work with our staff and then bring back a final layout plan to the park board for approval prior to installation. So that's a really one of those fun private partnerships that the city can work with to allow, you know, recreational features to be built and open to the public, yet done so with a private partnership.
Well, and that's always exciting because we usually have a couple of concerns when we start talking about expanded mm-hmm. offerings. Number one is the cost to build it.
Right.
But number two is the cost to maintain, yeah, because that lives with us forever. So the fact that that he and the club are willing to cover both of those is pretty exciting for us. And so this is something that will benefit the public, and it came at the generosity of the few. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah. So we talked about that as well. So a couple of good things going on in the park side.
Yep, and that's some of the other things that we have going on. Of course, we've had some funding for Pathfinder improvements for a little while. And we've driven the Pathfinder in the last year, and we've mm-hmm. looked at some projects. And since that time, we've had some flooding and some undercutting of the banks and some damage to the paths because of that. We've now chosen, I believe, the sections of that we're going to dedicate the repair funds to. And then also there's a couple of connections that are going on that are being planned for Pathfinder through Eastland and then also through the downtown. So could you talk about all that, Bea?
Well, we have funding we've had available for a while to do the one major connection behind Eastland Shopping Center that ties in kind of Eastland Shopping Center area where the trail dead ends on the west side of Highway 75 south of Mazio's Pizza.
Yeah.
So that connection from there to the Will Rogers school complex on Frank Phillips Boulevard is we've got a grant for that. We've got the necessary funding in place. The problem we've had with that is we've had a little hang up getting the necessary easements. And I know we have the legal description is not matching up quite right, so we're kind of stuck in.
Kind of critical when you're doing land documents.
Yes, so we're the attorneys and the engineers and the surveyors are all working together to make sure we get that easement description correct before we actually start construction. So that's where we are on getting that done. And then we're working on the final design of the connection of Pathfinder Parkway from Johnstone Park into downtown, so and not just into downtown, but then to tie together West Bartlesville. So understanding that Pathfinder Parkway is both a pedestrian and a bicycle trail, that obviously when you tie into downtown, it'll be a challenge because we most people are going to walk the sidewalks, and we need to take a look at how we handle bicycle traffic through downtown. Because technically, I think the ordinance doesn't allow people to ride bicycles on the sidewalks in downtown. Isn't that right, Chief O?
That's correct.
So we'll be working together.
Except that's correct for those of you all who couldn't hear him from back there.
Yes. So we're working with the Transportation Committee to look at some final design options that would be both cost-effective and safe and for everyone, both pedestrian and bicycle riders, and then hopefully get that started by the end of the year as well.
And for people who aren't involved in this is quite a process. It seems simple. You're just taking a path through downtown connecting West Bartlesville and Johnstone Park, but we have a number of projects that are happening at the same time, and so they're all being coordinated.
Right.
This
yes.
includes the downtown streets project, which we're going to overlay all the downtown streets, which is great. But before we can get to the downtown streets, we also have a utility project with the downtown drainage project. We have to get it out of the way so that we don't overlay the streets and then cut them a week later.
Right, exactly.
So that has to be done first. That project was being tied in with the Tower Center project.
Right.
And now there's discussion about connecting the Tower Center in for a bike path into the Pathfinder connection as well. So,
and I know in the past, citizens will see, well, they did this project, and 3 months later they cut that project to do another project. So we're trying to coordinate all of these things in the downtown area so it's done once.
That's right.
So we ask, so we ask people to be patient with us as we try to coordinate all these kind of downtown things together to do one final finished project. And so it takes more coordination. It will be great.
In about a year, downtown will be vastly different than it is today. But there will be some pain before we get there.
Okay.
So.
Let's skip that for now. Okay. Anyway, but good things are happening all over the parks and plants.
I've just gotten my marching orders from Lisa Beeman.
I don't want to take up too much time. I have a tendency to do that.
She had one thing she came here to talk about, and I didn't let her talk about
it. We'll save that for another time.
We'll save that for 2 weeks. So I also have the city's library director here with me, and Ms. Shelley McGill. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning.
And Shelley has had like many people in the city of Bartlesville, has actually had a long history with the city and started, started in utility billing.
Accounts payable. Yes.
You were utility billing supervisor at one point.
I was.
You were HR director at one point.
I was.
And now you have moved in and have taken over the duties as the city's library director. And
yes, I have. Enjoying it greatly.
We're very glad to have you there. So, but you guys actually have quite a bit going on this month, including, I think, this is a special month for libraries. Is it this month?
It is. The American Library Association designates September as Library Card Sign-Up Month. So we are signing up people for library cards this month. And if you have a library card, and we have some people that have library cards back from 30 and 40 years ago, they still work. But if you want to come in and get one of the new designs, you can do that free this month. And come and see some of the things we're doing, because our library is just not about books anymore.
No, you're right. It very much isn't. And that has changed probably in the last, I'd say, 3 years or
yes.
2 years, 3 years.
Yes.
A lot of that since you've been there. I know you have what's referred to as the Things Collection, which we talk about a lot, but I don't think most people are aware of. So here's an opportunity to describe it again.
That's great. Our Things Collection is a collection of things, just like it sounds, and you can borrow them. So right now, one of the things that are being loaned out are our instruments. As the children go back to work in the school and they decide, you know, what instrument do I want to play? Well, guess what? The library has almost every instrument your child could want to play. So if you want to come check it out for a week or two and figure out if that instrument's for your child, you can do that without signing that contract with that music company. We also have Instapots and microscopes and telescopes and cake pans and just about anything you can think of, even graphing calculators. If your child needs one, you can't get one just right away, come check one out. So just check out our Things Collection. We have about 200 things, and they're very popular.
Is it? Is there a list somewhere where people can see
Absolutely.
Sort of what's on? Is it on your website?
It is on our website. If you just go out there and type in Library of Things, it'll pop up with the 200 things you can check out.
So that's that is something I think that is, I think it's relatively unique to us. I've not heard of anyone else doing it. But.
We are one of the first libraries in our area, and mostly in Oklahoma even. There's only a few that do it in Oklahoma, so we're kind of excited.
And in fact, you're in the midst of doing something else that might be a little unique for libraries. You're doing a little renovation for in the kitchen area of the library.
I am. We are putting in a commercial kitchen area in the library. We have cooking right now by Susan Miller, who used to be, you know, right across the street from City Hall, and she's opening a new restaurant right now. And she comes in and teaches on healthy cooking, and the classes are just loaded and very popular.
And she's very cool. If you don't know her, you should go get to know her.
Yes, and we also have a cook from Alaska. Her name is Sandy McClellan, and she's coming in and cooking. And the newest thing is I may be bringing in one of the chefs from the Mercantile and doing a cooking series.
That would be fantastic.
And so we're really looking forward to our cooking series this fall.
That would be great. So that's just some additional offerings that the city and the library will have coming up. And I'm sure that's not all you've got. You've always got lots of programs going on.
Well, I'll tell you about another one or two if you're going to give me the time.
You go right ahead.
Here's your opening.
We just have opened a new digital conversion system, and so it's a center. We got a grant from the Bartlesville Rotary Club to help us open that, and that is where you can bring in your VHS tapes, your camcorder tapes, all kinds of different equipment that doesn't really play on today's media, and convert it to either digital or DVD. And so that center is free to use, and we'll get you started. And that's been very popular. Yeah. And then we are rolling out Creative Corner next Monday. That was a grant from ConocoPhillips. And we have got a room equipped for you to come and be creative. We have a computer in there, printers. We have Cricut machines in there that lets you cut out paper, lets you cut out vinyl, lets you make a t-shirt and press it on your shirt. And so it's just an area where you can come and be creative, and we have 8-foot tables that you can spread everything out and just have a blast. So that's going to kick off next Monday. We're taking reservations now for the use of that room, and we've started a scrapbook club every month. We have we're making tote bags this month, and next month we're creating journals. So we are doing a lot. So if you haven't checked out your library, I just encourage you to come check us out again.
I would agree. There is a lot happening at the library, and it certainly is not. It's in the same building it was when I was a kid, but it is not the same library as it was then. So
thank you, Mike.
Appreciate all of your work that you've done there, and we're very excited about what's coming up at the library.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Come see us.
Good morning, Chief.
Good morning.
And this is Chief Rolls. I realize we have two chiefs in the city of Bartlesville. Actually, multiple chiefs once you get into the deputies and all that. But this is the city of Bartlesville's police chief, which you've been the police chief for...
Almost a year.
My, how time flies, Chief.
It does, yeah.
But I will tell you, it has been a good year. There have been a lot of very positive changes at the police department. And I think that it's not just something that I see from inside. I think other people are starting to take notice that are served by the police department. So... appreciate you being here, and appreciate all the work that you've done on behalf of the city of Bartlesville. And you have had a busy couple of weeks. You had quite a few things going on. I know that at the council meeting we talked about the Eastside substation, which was the partnership that I alluded to earlier with Tri-County Tech and the city of Bartlesville.
Correct. We are very, very excited about that partnership. Being able to have a stronger police presence on the east side of Bartlesville is very important to the overall crime situation in our city. You know, it's always good to have police officers distributed throughout the city. And having that east side substation will certainly give us the opportunity to have more people on the east side and to better serve the east side of Bartlesville, which in turn better serves the whole community. So we're very excited about Tri-County wanting to partner with us in this endeavor. And I think it's long overdue, and it's something that's going to benefit the city and, most importantly, the citizens of our town.
Well, and this was something that as soon as you arrived, you started talking about it. And in fairness, the conversations had occurred before that about the need. But it was a little different once you arrived in that you were able to come up with this deal with Tri-County Tech that benefited not only us, but also them as well. They were very interested in having us located on their campus, and we got a favorable deal because of it, because we're going to provide a police presence on a school campus now. And so they were able to get something, we were able to get something.
Yeah, and in today's society, police presence in schools is very, very important. It's sad that it has to be that way, but it is what it is. So Tri-County was very interested in us being there, having our officers there, having a presence there, having our cars there.
Right.
All the stuff that goes along with having a police department, I guess, in your neighborhood.
That's right.
But they were very excited, and they've done a lot for us, especially since I've been here. You know, we've had a major focus on police training. And they have really helped us out with space to hold different types of trainings and different departmental meetings. So the partnership with them is very, very strong and something that's very, very welcome by us.
And so we talked about our partnership with them. We also have a partnership for law enforcement with Bartlesville Public Schools, and that we actually provide two school resource officers to Bartlesville Public Schools. One of those we pay for, and I believe the other one the school actually pays for. So that's more evidence of partnerships between local governments and trying to keep citizens safe and provide the best service that we can.
Yeah. Absolutely. The partnership with the school system and Superintendent McCauley are very, very important and very vital for our kids, not just from a public safety aspect, but also from a relationship building aspect. You know, those kids in the schools will get to see police officers maybe in a different light because they interact with them every day, and I think that's very, very important.
Not just in a negative manner. Unfortunately, a lot of us, the only time that we deal with a police officer is in a negative manner. We were pulled over and told we were speeding, or, you know, so that... I think you're right. That allows them to see that police officers are not just the guy that'll pull you over and give you a ticket. And so those are critical. We also started a new unit 2 weeks ago.
That's correct.
Started the new traffic unit that was approved with the budget and that was approved by the city council for this year. And you got it off and rolling, I think, faster than I thought you might be able to. It takes a little while to get everybody hired. And so how have they been doing?
Well, I'm sure it depends on which perspective you're looking from.
Yes, sir.
But from my perspective, they have done very, very well. They did start on the 26th of August, so today will be the third Monday they've been active. So they've gone 2 full weeks. There's 3 officers, and their primary focus is to work school zones, traffic enforcement in school zones, and traffic enforcement within the neighborhoods. And when I say traffic enforcement, most people think, oh, they're just going to write a bunch of citations, and that would be true. They are, and they have. But the most important focus is crime reduction in neighborhoods. Typically, if people see or have the perception that there's a lot of police officers in a specific neighborhood, they're less likely to commit a crime in that neighborhood. Our property crime, and I've said this multiple times, our property crime rate is too high in our town.
Yep.
And we have to do something proactively to reduce that crime rate, and this is an attempt to do that. Getting more police officers inside of our neighborhoods, not just going on the main thoroughfares, but inside the neighborhoods with the hope and the desire and the focus to reduce property crime. So although, yes, they are going to write a lot of tickets, and they have, there's also a more important focus, and that's increased presence in neighborhoods, which will hopefully lower the crime rates in those neighborhoods.
Well, and to your point, their main focus is to, you know, improve crime, to improve our crime statistics, to make people safer. If our goal was simply to get them out and write as many tickets as possible, they wouldn't be doing it in the neighborhoods.
Right.
We would put them out on arterials and we would try to catch people. But the focus on school zones and neighborhoods, honestly, in most of the neighborhood meetings that you've had since you arrived, what were two of your biggest complaints?
Oh, by far, it's animals and what are we going to do about the speeders?
That's it. And how are we going to slow people down?
That's
it's
right.
Dangerous. They're speeding through my neighborhood. I hear it all the time as well. So this is a way to, what we hope, kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Slow people down, change driving habits, maybe make everybody safer from that perspective. But also, as you said, to increase that police presence. You guys, you had 3 officers. You said you essentially blanket a neighborhood, which I believe you've commented before that if you put 3 officers in a single neighborhood, people think they're everywhere.
Yeah, it looks like a cop is on every corner, on every street, around every corner, which is that's what we want, because then the would-be, if there's a person who's thinking about breaking into a house and he thinks that there or she thinks that there's a police car everywhere and a police officer everywhere, they're less likely to break into that home.
Which is what we hope for.
Correct.
Hopefully to make things safer. And the I think it was last week, actually, you had a forum that you had talked about for a long time. This is something that you and I have been visiting about. I think this one was targeted more at a certain area of the community, but it was open to anybody who wanted to attend. You held it at City Hall. And, Chief, how many people came?
You know, I don't have the total numbers, but the room was full. That room, I think, holds 150 people,
yeah,
I think.
Is, yeah, and I think we have maybe 130 chairs or 120 chairs.
All the chairs were taken.
That's quite a turnout. It shows that people are concerned and interested in what goes on from a public safety perspective. What were the main topics of that meeting?
A lot about what can we do about juvenile crime in our neighborhoods, and how can we, as a community, work better in cooperation with our citizens, as a police department, work better in cooperation with our citizens and have a better understanding of what the needs of each are. Very productive meeting. A lot of people were there. My hope is that we do this more often.
Yep.
because it's good because the people that were there had some real concerns, and it's concerns that we as a police department needed to hear. We needed to identify if there are problems. We need to identify those problems, and so we can work to correct those problems. So I was very thankful for those who attended that meeting. Sometimes in those meetings, you don't get to always hear what makes you comfortable, and that's, I think, what we need to hear so that we can progress and be better in what we do.
We don't always hear what we want to hear, but we usually in those instances hear what we need to hear. And I'm grateful for everybody that turned out. I'm grateful for you and your command staff who were all there. You took an evening of your time to do that. I think those are very productive. I think that we hear a lot of the same things, and the police department, like all departments of the city of Bartlesville, has limited resources. And so we want to make sure that we are directing those in the areas of greatest concern to the citizens, and that'll be of the greatest benefit to them. So, but Chief, appreciate it. Thanks for coming on today. And Tom, I think with that, we are just about done for the day.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming in today and kind of, you know, making yourselves at home here in the kind of the friendly confines, close confines. And once again, we look forward to our next meeting with City Talk right here on K1. You are listening to K1, the one you trust, at AM 1400 and FM 93.3.